This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 357, down 4 3/4. December corn, 367, down 4 1/2. March corn, 379 1/2, down 4. August soybeans, 1224 1/2, up 4. September soybeans, 1099 3/4, down 2 1/2. November soybeans, 1082, up 3/4. September wheat, 530 1/4, up 3. December wheat, 550 1/4, up 3/4. March wheat, 572 1/4, down 1/2. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. First of all, the Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Thursday afternoon. Exports added firmness to soybeans, with favorable growing conditions weighing on corn prices, and commercial buying furnished a prop to wheat values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 1 to 5 cents at 349 to 364. Soybean bids fell 4 to 27 cents at 1193 to 1265. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down a nickel at 342 to 365. Soybean bids 4 to 8 cents lower at 1227 to 1282. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 5 cents lower at 342 to 372, soybean bids up 4 cents at 1227 to 1275, and the wheat bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 450 to 491. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids 9 cents lower on Thursday, ranging from 1252 to 1292, with basis tonight ranging from 170 to 210 over November. Hypro, 48% soybean meal on a truck basis, offered in a range of $431.30 to $446.30, which was up $3.70 a ton, and the basis unchanged on Thursday, range from $40 to $55 over the August. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 5 cents lower at $3.64 to $3.87, with basis steady, range from $7 to $30 over September. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 364 to 373. Basis also ended mixed on Thursday, ranged from 7 to 16 over September. Soybeans ended 7 to 10 cents stronger at 1243 to 1252, with basis 3 to 6 cents higher on Thursday, ranged from 18 to 27 over September. Wheat prices up 3 to 9 at 484 to 489, with basis unchanged to 6 cents higher, ranging from 41 to 46 under September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids down 7 to 12 cents at 386 to 393. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 1 to 4 cents, with quotations at 1264 to 1270. Soft red Rowena wheat steady to 5 cents lower at 476 to 495, and Milo down 5 cents at 392 to 417. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 329 to 342. New crop soybean bids 1042 to 1062. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 327 to 340, new crop soybean bids 1047 to 1071, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 327 to 349, and the new crop soybean bids range from 1052 up to 1071. That completes our grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, $157.92, down $1.92. October live cattle, $157.32, down $2.60. December live cattle, $158.10, down $1.82. August feeder cattle, $220.67, down $2.35. September feeder cattle, $221.20, down $3. October feeder cattle, $221.02, down $3. August lean hogs, $118.02, down $1.12. October lean hogs, $103.17, down $0.52. December lean hogs, $94.17, down $0.27. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 31st afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 5 cents higher in the range of 111 to 124, with the weighted average carcass price of 120.04. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 81 to 89, 4 to 5 weights 84 to 93, 5 to 6 weights 87 to 94, and 6 weights and up 89 to 97. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging in price from $82 up to $88. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 8,565 head, and now the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 647 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 160 to 170, select and choice 150 to 159, and choice slaughter Holstein steers. They ranged in price from 148 to 156.58. Select and choice Holstein steers 140 to 149, and select steers were 120 to 138. Choice slaughter heifers 160 to 165. Now moving on to real livestock auction, they had receipts of 248 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 162 to 169. Select and choice 152 to 161.50. Select steers 142 to 147.50, and select and choice Holstein steers 139.50 to 144. Choice slaughter heifers were 160 to 159.50. 160 to 167.50. Select and choice heifers 149.50 to 159.50, and select heifers 129 to 146. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 276 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 129.03, and that was $1.20 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $263.66, which was 74 cents higher, with select carcasses at $260.60, and that was 23 cents lower. From the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000, that compared to 115,000 last week and 119,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 405,000, that compared to 393,000 last week and 413,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday morning, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, 361, for September, 342. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, 352, for September, 342. Beans delivered to Greenfield for July, 1233, and for October, 1068. Beans delivered to Scottville for July, 1222, and for October, 1068. And wheat delivered to Scottville, 461. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, 361, corn at Scottville, 352, beans at Greenfield, 1233, beans at Scottville, 1222, and wheat at Scottville, 461.
Yesterday, the M&M Service Company held a field day at their Litchfield location. While a majority of the stations talked about genetics or nutrient management, guest speaker Sean Arians with Precision Planting took a different route and focused on the mechanics of planting.
That's correct, Angela. And what we strive to do is to work with producers to understand that we have to set the planter pass up correctly from the start in order to ensure that maximum yield potential at the end of the year. Genetics are great, they're meant to perform, but as producers, we have to make sure that we manage that planter pass from not only the meters to our drive system on the planter, but also how we manage the downforce and what weight we carry across the field at planting time to ensure the perfect environment for that seed.
And you touched a lot on a keyword, singulation.
Right. Our goal as we singulate that seed is to make sure that every hole in that meter is filled with a seed that will essentially drop down the seed tube and be planted in the field. And as we maintain that singulation, if our goal of being a 99% to 100%, that means that we've guaranteed a seed a place in the soil environment. And that, of course, will translate into yield as we go into the fall.
Now, you focused a lot on downforce. Can you kind of go over that and what the different factors are involved with that?
Downforce is pretty important and often overlooked. We pay attention to meters, but we often forget downforce and how that's managed. And downforce can be managed with springs, standard springs on a planter. It can also be managed with pneumatics, or we can control it with automation now as technology comes into play. We have an automated control system with air force to manage the planter wide across all rows, or we can put hydraulic units on that planter, which is a delta force system that allows us to control every row individually. And as most growers know, they go through the field and they have different soil conditions and environments that need managed differently. And the tradition is generally get the planter set and go plant and don't look back. And our goal is to change the mindset of growers to think about that differently and manage that downforce. It's all about creating the perfect environment for the seed, and the more we pay attention to that planter pass to do that, we set the grower up for success.
You also gave examples of a few situations where you would be checking the drive versus checking the monitor. What are those situations?
Oftentimes when we see a singulation issue, meaning that as the disc went through the seed pool, it didn't pick up a seed. Oftentimes that's a meter problem, whether it's a vacuum meter seal that might be going bad, whether it's a hole that's plugged of a little foreign material, maybe a cracked seed that got through and is now plugging that hole. If it's singulation, we often refer the grower to check the meter. If it's a spacing issue, meaning that we've got plants that are not on our target, most oftentimes around here, if we're planting 34,000 on 30-inch rows, that traditional spacing is going to be that 6 inches. If that spacing is off, at that point, we want the grower to look at their drive chains, their drive shafts, any misaligned hex shafts. Things like that are all things that affect spacing on the planter, and that's how we make sure that we get the grower to get back out of the tractor and take another look.
So in some ways, you're shockingly saying that if there's good conditions but you still have emergence problems, it may not be your seed dealer's fault.
That's correct. Oftentimes a grower will think that if they had emergence problems, it's the first call is to the seed rep, and that's not oftentimes the case. Genetics today have so much engineering and science behind them that they're meant to perform in a lot of varying conditions. And it's our goal as a producer to make sure that we set that planter and that seed up for success. And that's what we challenge growers, and what I challenge the growers here to do is think differently about that and walk their fields, understand, was a seed really planted there? Was it something that I did on the planting pass that caused that seed to not have the best environment available to it to produce?
In order for it to reach its optimal growth, we have to give it the best start.
That's absolutely correct.
Again, that was Sean Arians with Precision Planting. Also at the M&M Service Company Field Day, there was an unmanned aerial system demonstration. Brian Fairful was one of the presenters. He gave an update on how UASs are being used on farms and what regulations we can expect to see for these systems.
Today, with the farm use, I am seeing just aerial photos, diagnosing problems, issues that we have had in crop, and then potentially being able to make applications based upon what we see in the air. But it also doesn't just take that picture that we see in the air. We also have to diagnose it on the ground. So we have to know exactly what's going on out in the field. Where I see this going is being able to create a management zone based upon our knowledge out in the field, that aerial photograph or video, and then applying some sort of herbicide, pesticide, nutrient, something to better enhance our crop production.
And right now, people who have one or are looking to get one are kind of waiting on the FAA to come up with their own stance on this. Can you go over what their stance is now and what you think is going to come down from them?
Well, today, legally, the FAA has some specific wording to these regulations, and today we can only use them for hobby use, and you cannot use them for making any money. So I believe in about a few months, 2015, they're going to come out with specific guidelines for farm use, commercial use, to where we can use these, apply these, make a little money on them, but also better help our farmers with production of corn, soybeans, wheat, anything that we're growing out in our fields today.
Now, you've had some experience. We saw you demonstrate flying it for us today. What is your favorite part about a UAS?
My favorite part is actually my feet are on the ground, and the craft is actually up in the air. So I'm not afraid of flying by no means, but I can get up in the air anytime and take a picture of that 80-acre field. And if we have issues or if it just looks good, it's that sense of mind knowing that that crop looks absolutely excellent, and it takes a matter of minutes to view that field.
And what's it like to fly one? Is it difficult or is it pretty fail-safe?
It's pretty fail-safe, or what I like to call idiot-proof. I mean, it's they have beginning levels up to more advanced levels to where maybe it would take a little bit to get used to, but if you've ever messed around with remote controls, it's fairly easy. It takes a little bit of time to get used to, but it's there's definitely a learning curve, but you can catch on pretty easy.
Again, that was Brian Fairful with the M&M Service Company. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.